20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL, and of course, at Pack-A-Day Podcast as well. Thank you for joining me today. I am excited to talk some NFL draft with you guys, specifically some defensive tackles today. I had the last couple days to really jump into this defensive tackle class, specifically some players, probably rounds 2, 3, or 4 for Green Bay, but we'll get to that in just a moment. I should say more in just a moment. Before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member, Victor Trastic. Thank you so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. If you haven't checked out those memberships, make sure to do so. Members Q&A every single week, bonus content during the year. You never know when new bonus stuff might drop as well. So make sure to check out those memberships when you get a chance. We did have a couple pieces of news and notes, actually just two really small ones. We have two top 30 visits that we have in addition to the ones we already knew. Illinois offensive lineman Josh Geske and Texas Tech quarterback Baron Morton are your two newest top 30 visits for Green Bay. As we have talked about recently, if you missed the episode last week, if you are a top 30 visit for the Green Bay Packers in the Brian Gutekunst era, you basically have about a 25% chance of becoming a Green Bay Packer at some point in your NFL career. It might be for a cup of coffee during training camp. It might be for, you know, actually being drafted and being a long-term Packer. It could be anything in between, but you have about a 25% chance of becoming a Green Bay Packer at some point in your career. So keep an eye on those top 30 visits. Again, Illinois offensive lineman Josh Geske and Texas Tech quarterback Baron Morton. I will be doing an episode as we get closer to the draft going over all of the top 30 visits. We'll do an offensive show and break down all the players that they brought in on the offensive side of the ball and do scouting reports for them. And then same thing on the defensive side of the ball. We'll split that into two. And it doesn't make sense, obviously, to do it now because we don't know all of them now. But as we get closer to the draft and know at least the vast majority of those top 30 visits, we will do that again in probably the next couple weeks or so here. Maybe, you know, 2, 2.5 weeks. All right, that brings us to our main topic for today, which are the defensive tackle prospects that could make sense for Green Bay. Now, I went through the top 140 on the consensus big board, which should cover Green Bay's top three picks in this draft. Again, rounds 2, 3, and 4. They obviously don't have a first-round pick. There are three players that I have not scouted yet. Grayson Holton, who Ross Uglum did a great job on with the daily draft. If you haven't checked that out yet, make sure to do so. So if you want a full breakdown on Grayson Holton, check out Ross's breakdown. And then Caleb Proctor and Zane Durant, a little bit more, you know, kind of three technique type tackles, more undersized tackles. Undersized, probably the wrong way to put it. But I did look at all the other ones, even ones that would potentially be more of like a 3-4 defensive end or maybe more of a pass rush specialist on pass rush downs. I looked at all those other players, you know, somebody like a Peter Woods who we're going to go over in just a moment. But I did want to try to get a little bit more of the run stuffing and nose tackle types in today's show. So I focused a little bit more on those. So again, all the defensive tackles in the top 140, I did cover except for Grayson Holton, Caleb Proctor, and Zane Durant. And by the way, the consensus big board, it's not an actual consensus big board, right? It's not the know-all, the all-seeing eye of, you know, the draft and what's going to happen. This is just a bunch of big boards that people have put together in the, you know, I guess, you know, mock draft community and the, you know, draft Twitter community and things like that, where they, you know, put it all in one spot and then average it out, etc. So, but I did want to kind of get some of the top ones so that we could cover them. But with enough about that, without any further ado, let's get into some of these defensive tackles. For those of you who have been with me, a lot of these, they're going to be pretty, you know, complete. I'm not just half-assing these by any means, but these are not the deep dives, right? When the Packers draft one of these players, I will do a huge deep dive on these players. But until then, we're just going over some general scouting notes that I took when I was going through the film on these players. Some obviously, you know, height, weights, you know, sort of stuff. And you'll see in just a moment, but we'll get there. And then again, if they draft any of these players, we'll take even a deeper dive into it as well. And then I'll kind of give you my overall impressions of the player as we go through them also. All right, so we're going to start with Peter Woods. Actually, I lied. We're going to start by just going over this defensive class in general, which really mirrors the draft class in general. It's a bizarro draft class. It is just a bizarro draft class. It's not to say that it's bad. It's not to say that we won't maybe get some Hall of Famers out of it. It's not to say that we won't get all pros or Pro Bowlers. It's just a bizarro draft class. Every pick, maybe after Mendoza, if you see Mendoza as a true, you know, legitimate top tier QB1, which to me, he's the top prospect in this draft, where you come out, like, just not to go over, you know, him with any great detail here, but I would put him as like a more mobile Jared Goff coming out of college. That's my sort of eval on Mendoza. So, and Goff went one overall and has been a really good quarterback, although after being traded away, but in general, he's worthy of being a number one overall selection. But then really immediately following that, everything is almost some sort of compromise. Whether it be like Jeremiah Love, right, is arguably maybe the next best player, maybe even the best player in the class, right? But he's a running back. How high do you want to draft a running back? Sonny Styles, one of the best players in this draft. He's an off-ball linebacker, kind of an undersized off-ball linebacker to some extent. Like, how high do you want to spend a draft pick on that? Avril Reese, you know, isn't a, what I would consider, you know, your usual, you know, even, you know, Carter from last year, Abdul Carter, certainly not in the Myles Garrett category. He's not like a full top tier edge rusher. And he's sort of like a hybrid between an off-ball linebacker and an edge. And then every pick is either like a non-premium position, or there's some red flag, or they don't have the athleticism, or they had an injury, or they don't have the, you know, there's just something. There's something with everybody. So it's just a sea of what are you willing to sort of gloss over and look over. There's something with everybody, whether it's production or whatever. And this defensive tackle class feels very much the same. There's not a top tier defensive tackle. There will be, but like if you told me that there wasn't a defensive tackle that went in round one, I'd be surprised just in general that one of these guys didn't get into it. But like, if you told me all of these in a normal draft were kind of like top of the second round, the best versions of these players, I wouldn't be totally like stunned by that. I actually like a couple of these players higher than that, and we'll get into that. But this is more of like there's not a top 15 defensive tackle in this class. These are probably a couple guys probably go, you know, mid to late round one. Few more guys probably go early to mid round two, and then you've got kind of a round three guy, and then you're probably already to round four, maybe one more round three. But it's not the deepest class, it's not the strongest class, but there are some good players, and I do think we're going to end up with some really unique players that come out of this class that end up being good pros, and I'm excited to talk about them. But it is a little bit of a bizarro class, which fits the rest of this draft class as well. But let's start with Peter Woods. And this is a fantastic example of exactly that. Peter Woods has been a hyped up prospect for some period of time, really since his freshman year in college. Somebody that was expected to be a potential top 10 pick in any draft, maybe even a top five type of guy. In freshman and sophomore year, he looked like he was on that trajectory. And if you look at the mock drafts going into the season, this past year, Peter Woods was still considered to be, you know, a first half of the first round type of guy. And then this year, not only did he not take a step forward, it felt like he took a legitimate step back. I'll just give you the generals on him first. He's the 25th overall player on the consensus draft board. He's 6'2 and a half, 298 pounds. So he'd play more of that 3-4 defensive end in Green Bay. Certainly not a nose tackle. You would want him in on obvious passing downs, probably teaming with Devontae Wyatt. You could probably do some fun stuff. He has played a little bit on the edge as well because he's that type of freaky player, but he wouldn't be your nose tackle type. We'll just put it that way. He just turned 21 in March. So despite him being a hyped up prospect for a few years now, he did just turn 21. This is not a 22, 23, 24-year-old player, just turned 21 years old. He had a 7.45 relative athletic score. He did not do the bench press. Here's the first thing. He had 14 pressures this past year in 2025. That is insane. If you just see some of the flashes from Peter Woods and how talented this dude is, to say 14 pressures, 14, that's nothing. It would have felt, if you would have told me like going into the year that like Peter Woods like stumbled into a, like 14 pressures, I'd have been like, yeah, that sounded about right. If you would have asked my expectations for a player his caliber of how many pressures he had, I would have said, you know, it's got to at least be in the 30s, at least be in the 30s. And he had 14. He had 54 in 3 years and only 6 sacks in his 3-year career at Clemson. This is sort of the maddening aspect of this entire draft class, and Peter Woods sums it up in a very simple and easy and obvious way. This dude is so freaking talented, and yet the production just left so much to be desired. 14 pressures in 2025, 6 sacks in his career. He had impressive tape in 2024 at defensive end, moving him around. He looked more explosive in earlier years, in my opinion. The tape and the numbers leave you wanting so much more. The highlights make him look like the best player in the draft class. That's, again, the Jekyll and Hyde of this. You go turn on a tape of one of his games from this past year, and you're going to need an energy drink at times to get through it. Now, he was doubled a lot, okay? So that happens, and sometimes it's a grind when you have to keep going against double teams. Opposing teams knew the talent that he was and didn't want to let him beat them. That's a piece of this for sure. But you watch a full game of his, and it's just like, where is this special player? And then go watch some of his cut-ups, some of his highlights, and you're like, that's the best player in the class. But it's not consistent enough. You have to go through a few years of those cut-ups to put together what you were hoping was going to be a highlight type reel just for this season or just for a handful of games from him, but it wasn't. He had 0 penalties in his career. That's good. No jumping off sides, no false starts, no you know, internal holding penalties or inside holding penalties or anything like that. He looks so much the part, both on film and in his workouts. Go watch him do his workouts. And, you know, in, at the combine and things like that, or at his pro day, I think maybe it was. And he very, very much looks the part. Very much looks the part. He's able to stack and shed at 298 pounds and hold up at the point of attack. That's not an easy thing. Some of the 330 pounders struggle to do it, and he has the ability to do it at 298 pounds. Again, I mentioned he gets double teamed a ton. That easily could have worn on him throughout the course of his career. He has a really nice sort of push-pull move, and almost like a double push-pull move. So kind of do like a push and then a rip. And then if that doesn't work, he kind of tries to get to the other side and do like another push and a rip. And it works. It's a good move. But he needs to develop a few more moves and get those in his arsenal. That's for sure. Probably goes to the well a little bit too often with that push-pull move. He's a very quick first step. Extremely explosive. Can beat you to a spot and explode through a gap. He does have short arms, which does affect him. Despite being a pretty freaky dude, he wasn't like a 9.98 relative athletic score or something. He was a 75th percentile athlete, which is really good, but it's not like 90th or 95th or 98th, which would give you a little bit more hope, right? If you were like, hey, the production didn't show yet, but look, this dude is a freak. He looks like a freak on the field, but doesn't do it consistently. And the numbers would have been nice to reflect what you thought were going to be a super freak when those numbers were put out. Still good, 75th percentile athlete, but for lack of production, I probably would have preferred that to be in like the 98th percentile, if I'm being honest. So again, short arms, very strong hands, very, very strong hands. Needs to hold his ground better against double teams and on down blocks because sometimes he can get washed out of the play. Here's the thing. I really liked Peter Woods watching him. There's risk here. There's a lot of risk because he was highly touted from his freshman year throughout his junior year, and he did not live up to those expectations. And now he's probably a late first, early second round guy, and you're hoping you can bring out the best in his overall toolbox and what he has at his disposal to be a top end type player. I think he gets there. I think his best years are ahead of him, and he's going to be better in the NFL. But you better bet that there's no guarantee of that. And you could get him in and it could just be rather pedestrian in the NFL as well. And would I have liked more proof of concept of being like, yeah, I saw it consistently for a period of time? Hell yeah, I would have. But when I watch him again, when you see the drills that he went through, when you see him on tape, when you see some of the highlight level stuff that he is capable of, it's just too tantalizing. And I'm willing to take the risk on that. Me personally, I'm not saying for the Packers per se, but me personally, I would say, you know, late first round pick, I would take that all day, every day. It wouldn't shock me if he went earlier than that. Probably not going to be around at pick 52, to say the least. And again, not that nose tackle run stuffing type that Green Bay is really looking for, but he is a beautiful blend of being able to hold up at the point of attack and has that quick first step and explosiveness into the backfield. Some team's going to value it. I expect that he's probably going to go round one. We'll be right back. All right, next up is Caden McDonald, Ohio State. 31st on the consensus big board, 6'2", 326, turned 21 just in March. He did not do any testing, which is unfortunately going to be a trend for a lot of these players we're going to talk about today. He is an extremely safe pick, in my opinion, and a very, very sound run defender. Probably won't give you a ton as a pass rusher, holds his ground, and can reset the line of scrimmage a little bit, which you love to see. Does have an arm over move, isn't going to have the burst or the explosion to the quarterback. He's one of those players that even if he does beat an offensive lineman in the rare chance that that does happen, he's not going to have that explosive closing speed to the quarterback, and the quarterback can probably maneuver around him and kind of step up or throw the ball away. So you're just not going to see a ton of sacks from him. He can hold up versus double teams, which is exactly, you better be able to, right? If you're not a pass rush guy and you are a sort of true nose tackle, that's going to probably be more of a two down player. You better be able to hold up against double teams. And he certainly has the ability to do that. He's very, very tough to move. He had 15 pressures in 2025, but only 18 in his career. All right. Has only played 695 snaps. He has not played a ton of snaps in college. He looks the part of an NFL nose tackle. He has raw, natural strength and power, plays with natural leverage, knows how to stack and shed, which again, as a big time run defender, you better be able to know how to do that. He's really tough to knock off the ball, even with double teams. He can two gap, which means he can hold up the center and go left or right, or hold up the guard, go left or right. He can play two gaps at the same time. He, again, might only be a two down player in the NFL. I still think he can learn to anchor better against double teams. That will be something that I think will come with time. He had 16 tackles for loss or no gain, which was, I think, the best in college football this past year, and 30 run stops, which I also believe was the best in college football for defensive tackles this past year. He's a stud anchor guy in the middle. He'd be a beautiful pick for Green Bay. Exactly what they need at that nose tackle spot. Put Hargrave and Wyatt next to him, and you've got the makings of a really fun front. Now you've got Micah and LVN as your edge players, Zaire Franklin and Edgerrin Cooper as your linebackers. Great safeties. We can talk about the corners another day. But yeah, I feel really good about the defense if you're able to add somebody like him. Now, again, 31st on the consensus big board. I don't think he's a lock to go round one. I have a feeling he will probably go late round one or early round two. Can defensive tackles go off the board quick, though, especially in a draft like this? If you told me he went like 20th, wouldn't be stunned. But if you told me he went like 44th, 45th, that wouldn't be totally out of the question either. And if he gets in that range, you know, anything in that, yeah, I think 43 to 46 range would be an area where if it were the right player, I could see Goody trading up. He'd probably try to trade like a fifth and a seventh at that point to try to move up that second round pick, give yourself a player that you think can come in and help right away. And at 6'2", 326 with the run stuffing ability that Caden McDonald has, I think he'd be able to give you that, which would be very exciting for that defensive line. Probably gone, but an interesting prospect nonetheless. Next up is Caleb Banks, Florida. And again, if you go back to McDonald, that's where, again, you have to sort of choose, right? How valuable is a two-down player for you? Not going to play on third downs, not going to rush the quarterback much. He's a really talented player as a run defender, but you know, you're wanting, he's not that complete player. He kind of is like a platoon player, right? You put him in on early downs, then you got to bring somebody in for him on obvious passing downs. Is he good? Yes, but where's the value in that? That's the question mark for him. Caleb Banks has more different, unique question marks. So he's out of Florida, 36th on the consensus big board, 6'6", 327. Just a big human being that can really move. He's a really fun player to watch. He did turn 23 in March. So he's not like overaged, but he's not on the young side at 21 or 22 either. He had a 9.84 relative athletic score, but didn't do the bench press and did not do agility testing either. Here's the thing with Banks. He has a foot injury. He has had a reoccurring foot injury, and he's only played 96 snaps this past year. 96 snaps. That's all he played. He had a broken foot recently that will keep him out until June. He has 35-inch freaking arms. All right? Those are big arms. 6'6", 327 with 35-inch arms. He's huge, and he can move. However, he has a 25.5% missed tackle rate in his career and falls off of tackles quite a bit. That's been a problem for him. He is a very quick first step, especially for his size, and can get off the line very, very quick. He struggles with pad level due to his height and due to his technique. He had a 20.0% pass rush win rate in 2024, which is huge. Again, especially for a 6'6", 327 interior defensive lineman. Players bounce off of him. So you see, you know, like an offensive lineman come to try to block him in the run game, and it's just, you can't get to him. He just has a knack for, again, just kind of shedding guys, and guys are just kind of bouncing off of him. He's a very, very difficult player to block. He's strong, powerful, quick, and he's just, again, a simply very tough player to block. Simply put, there's no more to it than that. Best football should be ahead of him. Again, didn't get to play much this past year. He will get moved by double teams. He's going to have to learn to anchor better. His finishing absolutely has to get better. And that's where we talked about with that missed tackle rate. And he can fatigue, and his technique and effort start to wane when he does fatigue. Some of that may have been due to missing the time with the foot and some things like that. But he's going to have to show that once he comes back fully healthy, that he doesn't have those sort of lapses where it doesn't look quite as good as it does when he's at 100% and not fatigued. This is another player that I really enjoyed watching. 6'6", 327. Man, if he's there at 42, 43, 45, 48, I'm absolutely trying to trade up. I would absolutely try to trade up. I think you'd have to have a plan for him. I don't think you could just plug and play him at nose. Like, I think he's going to take some time. You know, honestly, kind of like a Hargrave type player, where he's probably better as a pass rusher and a, you know, somebody who can kind of shoot a gap and get upfield than he is as a true, you know, eat a double team or just kind of stuff the running alleys. He's not quite that guy, but I do think he's massively talented. And even like him and Hargrave in the middle on obvious passing downs, I think would be a ton of fun. You obviously have to get wide in there too and things like that, but hey, you can never have enough of those pieces. I liked him, but foot injury, didn't play much last year. It's fatigued easily at times, has missed tackles, fallen off plays. There's red flags here. There's absolutely red flags. Again, this is a whole draft of sorting through a variety of just red flags or value, or you just have to compromise on some things in this draft. Banks could be one of those ones that you have to compromise on a little bit, but the upside is really tantalizing. If you told me that utilizing pick 52, either just the player ended up being there or Green Bay moved up for the player a little bit, if you told me one of the players that we talk about today is the one that Green Bay picks, Christian Miller would be that player for me. Of course, it's a Georgia player, right? And I know some people might just be, oh, God, another Georgia defender. Like, Eric Stokes didn't work. Quay Walker didn't work. Devontae Wyatt's had ups and downs. Like, yeah, we know there's obviously more too, but are you going to just keep doing this? Are you going to just keep drafting? Obviously, Bullard has worked in the second round, but, you know, do you need another one? You've gotten to see your Stackhouse at defensive tackle from Georgia, but I really like Christian Miller. 46 on the consensus big board, 6'4", 321, turns 22 in August. He, like a lot of these other ones, did not do testing. Had 19 pressures in 2025, 45 in his career, only two career sacks and none in 2025. Turns 22 in August, is a dirty work defensive tackle, is going to do all the stuff up front that you need him to, is going to keep your linebackers clean and plays the game the right way. He's just got that mentality to him. It doesn't matter. Whatever you ask him to do, he's going to go out and do it. And that Georgia defense and certainly playing in that type of scheme is certainly going to be very favorable for him as he makes that transition to the NFL. He's built low to the ground, good balance, good center of gravity, holds up very well at the point of attack, strong enough to stack and shed, wins with natural leverage, going to be a long-term player in the NFL, likely won't be an all-pro type player, but I think he's probably like a decade-long player, just as a rotation, not rotation, but like a really good, strong, solid, sound defensive tackle for, again, like I said, the next decade or so. He can play nose tackle or three technique. He can give you a little bit of both. There's some Kenny Clark to his game. there's some legitimate Kenny Clark to his game. He's rarely on the ground. And I do think he kind of brings that type of mentality that you're looking for. Again, 6'4", 321. It's the size that Green Bay looks for. This is probably the one. I like Christian Miller quite a bit. And I think he has the right blend, meaning he's going to give you the dirty work. He's going to give you a good run defender. He's going to battle. And he also has a little bit of pass rush juice. Not a ton, but he's got a little bit of pass rush juice that helps you as well. All right, next up, Lee Hunter, Texas Tech. 47th on the consensus big board. Another one that I think Green Bay could have some interest in. 6'3", 318, does turn 24 in July. So a little bit on the older side and only a 4.07 relative athletic score. Did not do any agility testing, which may have bumped it down. Maybe it wouldn't have. But here's the thing. He had very poor explosive numbers on the RAS, but I thought he had a very explosive first step and has a little bit of closing explosion to the quarterback as well. You want a little bit of burst, and Lee Hunter's got it. And surprising, especially based on the testing. Likes to win with an arm over move. That's his go-to move. He's actually a pretty good pass rusher, but pretty much with that arm over move, a one-trick pony. Very Carl Brooks-esque in that regard. Brooks loves that arm over move as well. Need to see him hold up against double teams better. He will get blown out of his gap on those double team plays far too often. He needs to improve there. The work ethic and the want to is absolutely there. He has some incredible chase downs for his size. He unfortunately did not test well, as we talked about. However, he has got very good strength. He needs to play with better pad level and better leverage. He had 26 pressures in 2025, 27 in 2024, and 22 in 2023. An 84.5 run defense grade in 2025 per PFF. Has a 6'9 wingspan. So again, he's got some long arms to go along with him. Good lateral agility and had a very impressive Senior Bowl. He's a fun player. He's a very fun player. I liked him. With the low athleticism and being on the older side, I'm not sure that Green Bay is going to be completely in love with him, but he is a good player, and Green Bay might not be in the position to be, you know, getting exactly what they want in this draft with only having a round two pick and maybe needing to address this defensive line a little bit. All right, next up is Dominique Orange, Big Citrus. Heard a lot about him. Now I finally got to watch him. Iowa State defensive tackle, 74th on the consensus big board. 6'2", 322, just turned 22 years old. Did not do testing either. Has 55 career pressures, but only 13 in 2025 and only one career sack. Actually reminded me a lot of TJ Slayton. Has the ability to snuff out screens, needs to play with better technique. When he's on, he's extremely hard to move and can split double teams and hold up at the point of attack. Played 73% of his snaps as a true nose tackle, most of any defensive tackle in this class. Long arms, big hands, has that going for him. Very quick for his size. Not technically proficient and will take time to master his craft. So he's just got to work on the fundamentals of the position. Provides little as a rusher. Even if he wins, he can't finish the play. Doesn't have that explosive burst at the end. And just struggles to kind of change direction and get to the quarterback in those situations. Again, quarterback can kind of avoid it. He was on Feldman's freak list and can bench 450 plus pounds. So has that raw natural strength. I liked Orange again. I'll go back to the TJ Slayton comp. Every once in a while, he will just show a burst to get into the backfield. And you're like, whoa, holy crap, like super talented dude. But it's not consistent. He gets blocked up pretty easily in pass rush more often than not. But you can't really move him a ton. But he also isn't technically proficient, just like Slayton, where Slayton will get moved out of the gap. And you're just like, dude, just hold up at the point of attack. That's all we need you to do at your size. So I like Dominique Orange. I do. I think he's going to be a pretty solid player and can carve out a really nice career. If your expectation is that Dominique Orange is going to come in, be that nose tackle for you, and you're just good to go, I think you're going to be sadly mistaken. I think he's going to take time. I would put him, this is going to sound derogatory towards Orange, and I don't mean it to be. I would put him a little bit more in that like Montrevious Adams type player where it takes time. Where Adams, you know, got to Green Bay and it took him that few years. And by the time Green Bay was ready to move on and he ended up having a pretty good career after that, he was kind of playing for another team. I think he can help a little bit. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think this is just a, oh, well, we fixed nose tackle. I think it's going to take a little bit of time for him to kind of master that craft at that spot. So good player, don't mind the long-term investment at all if that's what you want to do. I would just say like, hey, if you do take Orange, you know, can you still go out and get a veteran? Like, I wouldn't rule out a DJ Reader or something like that after the fact. Just say, all right, Reader's going to play nose. Orange is going to back him up. And then Wyatt and, you know, Hargrave are going to play the defensive end positions. And then Brooks and Brinson will back up those two guys. Like, that to me would make some sense. That could make a lot of sense. But I do like him. I just don't think he's going to come in and be that perfect nose tackle from day one, nor any of these guys. It's just not going to usually happen that way. We'll be right back. Daryl Jackson Jr., Florida State, 87th on the consensus big board, 6'5", 315, turns 23 in April, had 14 pressures and one sack in 2025, 30 pressures in 2024, 64 in his career, 9 total sacks, including, again, 5 in 2024. Fantastic size and arm length, looks the part immediately, mucks things up in the run game, not particularly dominant, but a true plugger inside. So what I mean by that is, he is just kind of like that, almost like a junkyard. Like, it's just, he's making a mess of things up front for your offensive line. He's not dominating, okay? He's not like shooting into the backfield and making a play, but he's not getting blown off the ball, and he's holding his gap, right? He's just kind of getting the job done. It's not sexy. It's not flashy. It's just, it's a pain for the offense, and he's mostly doing his job as a muck it up run defender, which is exactly what you need sometimes. It's not always, again, going to be the sexiest or flashiest, just has to get the job done. And Daryl Jackson Jr. is that type of guy. He's good experience with almost 1,700 career snaps. Didn't show almost anything as a pass rusher. No real burst or explosive quality. No pass rush plan. Plays with poor balance and pad level. I think he might be best as a run stuffing 3-4 defensive end, if I'm being honest. Does have a 7-2 wingspan. So that is crazy, and that definitely plays. Poor change of direction, tight hips, just kind of lacks a natural feel for the position as well. If you can't tell, I didn't love Jackson. I do think there's upside here. And again, 3-4 defensive end with those long arms and just a little bit of juice. Not a ton, but just a little bit, just enough to kind of keep you just tantalized and wanting a little bit more. But this is not, to me, a answer. If you took him in like the third round, it's fine. I would prefer like a fourth round on Jackson. I think he's probably gone by then. Again, 87th player on the consensus board. I was just a little bit lower on Jackson than I think where he's probably going to get drafted. Not a bad player by any means. Good rotational defensive lineman. Just don't think you're ever going to get anything much more than that. Dante Corleone, Cincinnati, the godfather. 110th on the big board. 6'1", 340 beautiful pounds. 24 years old in August. So again, on the older side, and did also not do any testing. Interestingly, his PFF grade has gone down every single year. 93.8, 83.3, 73.3, 72.6. Has 78 career pressures, but only, 68 career pressures, only 8 in 2025. Has 8 career sacks, but none in 2025. Reminds me a little bit of Andrew Billings, the defensive tackle from the Bears this past year. Was a rookie for Cincinnati back in the day. He's very disciplined. It's reported that he can bench press 485 pounds, squat 605 pounds, and deadlift 700 pounds. So he's definitely a little bit freaky in that regard. He's just limited with his length, lacks a pass rush plan, has had some blood clots in his lungs, which has cost him some time. That's always scary. He's also having surgery on his left ankle. So that's worth noting as well. Was on Feldman's freak list 3 freaking times. Played much better earlier in his career. Looked far more explosive and might try to have him, if I were the team, I might try to have him lose a little bit of that weight and just gain a little bit of that explosivity back. I think he might be better at like 325 than he is at 340. So that would be something that I would consider. And if all of a sudden he drops some of that weight and gets in really good shape, and maybe he's not quite as good at holding up at the point of attack, but add some of that explosive ability, I think that might actually be a win for him. He's got good balance. He's rarely on the ground. He's kind of like a bowling ball when he's on. Just tough to stop when he gets some momentum and just kind of bouncing around and ping-ponging around. He's got short arms and lacks length, which limits him as well. But he's a fun player. I really did like him. I loved what he did earlier in his career. It's disappointing that it kind of got a little bit worse year by year, But I do think there's something there. He's freaky enough. He's stout enough. He can win with leverage. And again, I think if you get him a little bit more svelte, I don't know if you can say svelte at 325, but I think if you could get him closer to that, I'd be very, very intrigued with what he would look like as a player. Because he's not tall, right? It's not like he's got 340 spread out to 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", right? He's very compact, right? He's 6 foot, but now he's got 340 on top of it. Get that closer to 320, 325, and I think you might have a very intriguing player. All right, next up, Chris McClellan, defensive lineman out of Missouri, 114th on the big board, 6'4", 313, turns 23 in October, did full testing. Hat tip and kudos to you, Chris McClellan, for doing full freaking testing. You just never see it anymore. He did everything. 6.00 relative athletic score. However, he did extremely poor in the agility scores and the 10-yard split. Maybe shouldn't have done the agility drills, but love that he did it, but that's definitely a red flag. Strong tackler, 1,500 plus career snaps, 11-inch hands, 34-inch arms, does a great job of turning pressures into sacks. So when he does get pressure, doesn't get a lot of pressure, but when he does get pressure, he does a good job of turning those into sacks. Has strong hands, an 8.1% stop rate. He's not a very diverse pass rush type of guy. He's not going to bring a lot of moves to the table. Usually doesn't explode off the line, with a couple exceptions here or there. He's going to help any defensive line room. He's just going to come in and he's going to be that rotational defensive lineman that gives you some valuable snaps week in and week out. He's a rotational piece with some occasional flashes and a little bit of upside. Needs to improve his eye discipline. Think he's also going to be best as more of a 3-4 defensive end. He has an inconsistent anchor. Most of his tape is rather pedestrian, and he does struggle to get off of blocks. So I just think he's, again, going to be a really sound rotational defensive lineman for you, and any team could use a Chris McClellan. Simple as that. Next up is one of the more unique players, Xavien Harris. I've got three left, by the way. Xavien Harris, Ole Miss, 115th on the big board, 6'8", 330. 6'8", 330 with 34 5/8-inch arms. He's a freak. He did not do any testing. He's 22 years old, turns 23 in October. He did have foot surgery after the combine, so noteworthy there. He's a massive, massive human being. Almost looks awkward at his height. It's weird seeing a 6'8", 330 guy, especially in college. Calais Campbell is the one that gets brought up here, but he's not really anything like Calais Campbell, in my opinion. He's not going to win the leverage battle. We pretty much know that. He has 6 blocked kicks to his name. Actually, I think that might have been 8. I think I may have wrote that down wrong. But either 6 or 8 blocked kicks to his name. He has blocked a ton in his career. An 84-inch wingspan. As a defensive lineman, he's extremely inconsistent. His pad level and technique is going to, you know, both are going to need a lot of work. 5.5 career sacks, so he hasn't got a ton of pressure in sack production. Also has a domestic violence charge in 2024. Can get easily knocked back with his size, doesn't have ideal balance or anchoring. He's a unique piece that has a lot of tools to work with and some kind of unique upside that you don't really usually see. He has less than ideal change of direction, wins with his size, but needs a more diverse skill set. I don't think he's going to be the Green Bay Packers type. I don't really see him as a nose tackle. I don't know, he's just a very odd player. But some team is going to take a chance, and some of the unique stuff there is worth, I think, experimenting with, if nothing else. But go watch him. He's an interesting player. Next up is one of my favorite later round guys, Demonte Capehart from Clemson, 127th on the big board, 6'5", 313, turns 24 in June, a 9.97 relative athletic score, did not do any bench press or agility drills, 892 snaps in 6 seasons with only 12 starts. So this dude has played 6 years at Clemson. He's going to be 24 in June. He only has 12 starts in his career and only 892 snaps in 6 years. 6 years. However, not only is he a freak athlete, he's matured at 24, and he has some of the most fun tape out there of any of these defensive tackles. He forklifted a guard just right up out of the... like, he just picked him up and basically threw him to the side and went and made a play in the backfield. It was beautiful. It was gorgeous. And then on another play, I think it was against Wake Forest, he just dog walks the center right back, just bull rushes him, and just, again, moves him about 5-6 yards backwards and just chucks him to the side, just completely discards him. This is a weaponized run defender, probably more as a 3-4 defensive end that can help you a little bit as a nose tackle. He has incredibly strong hands, a strong anchor. He has some stack and shed ability as well. He's assignment sure, knows how to fill and maintain his gap. He is extremely limited as a pass rusher, but he can help you a little bit. Has 3 sacks only in 6 years, 34 career pressures, but did have 11 in 2025. I don't know if that's a good thing. That's probably not. Extremely physical hands and legitimate power. Some finishing bursts when he does get the chance. So that's where that 997 RAS comes in. When he does actually get a chance and beat somebody, he does have the ability to close to the quarterback. His tape is inconsistent. He always leaves you wanting a little bit more, especially for the athlete that he is and the age that he is. Again, 24 in June. And usually what you need to see from him is that he wins early in the rep. Whether it is forklifting a guard or bull rushing a center right into the quarter, or right into the backfield, I should say, that's when he wins. If he starts getting blocked up, he struggles to get off of those blocks. But he is a fun player. Again, run defender is what you're bringing him in for. I think if you brought him in as like a fourth, especially if you get him in the fifth, but fourth, fifth round player who can help you as a early down run defender, you'll be very, very happy with the results that you get. And then last but not least is Tim Keenan III out of Alabama, 137th on the big board, 6'1", 327, short arms, smaller hands, 23 years old, will turn 24 in December, only a 2.75 RAS and did not do the agility testing. And if he did, I think things probably would have been even worse with the athletic score. He has 45 pressures in his career, only 12 in 2025, 8 career sacks, 3 in 2025. Listen, this is just a rotational nose tackle who shows the ability to hold up against double teams. He has a good anchor, a wide body, had a very strong week at the Senior Bowl, has leadership intangibles by all accounts, can come in and help a locker room right away. Takes time to shed blocks. He's not going to shed things very quickly. He is an eater of blocks. He is not a destroyer of blocks, is how I would put it. If you're looking for pass rush, you're not really going to get it. If you're looking for somebody who is going to split blocks or penetrate blocks or destroy blocks or forklift somebody, this is not your guy. If you're looking for somebody that is going to get double teamed at the point of attack and he's just going to sit and anchor and not go anywhere, Tim Keenan III can be your guy. Is he going to give you much outside of that? No. Intangibles, leadership, and somebody that can squat on double teams and be tough to move. That's what you're getting. Where you value that is at a fifth round guy, is at a sixth round guy, is at a seventh round guy, is about to turn 24. There's not a ton of upside. I don't know, but he can give you help as a rotational nose tackle for sure. Those are your defensive tackles that we're going over today. We went over Peter Woods, Kaden McDonald, Caleb Banks, Christian Miller, Lee Hunter, Dominique Orange, Daryl Jackson Jr., Dante Corleone, Chris McClellan, Xavion Harris, DeMonte Capehart, and Tim Keenan III. Let me know who you guys like. Round two, I would be looking at Caleb Banks, Christian Miller, Kaden McDonald, Lee Hunter, Peter Woods, if he's there. He's not what you're kind of looking for, but I'd certainly be more than willing to be interested and still take a shot at him. If Green Bay wanted to do that, I'd have no issue with it whatsoever. And the third, maybe consider Dominique Orange. You're probably more of a long-term play. I don't think he's going to come in and just dominate from day one. And then fourth or fifth round, DeMonte Capehart is who I'd be looking for there. Those are kind of my guys from this group. A second round slight move up for Christian Miller does seem to make a lot of sense to me. And then grab your corner in the third round, which I think there's going to be good corners. Justice and I, and I have talked about that in the past, but second round move up for Christian Miller, could see it making logical sense. Could see Goody potentially be interested in, and would have no issue with that whatsoever. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you, as always, for joining me. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winklesinkle, the Gable Storm Pack Attack cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Devin Lane, Richard Morales, Les Nino, Beast Bumblebee, Steve Bates, John Mark Lydell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zilch Zillertson, Large Charles, Jake Kohner, Will Glass, Imperium Collectibles, Carlo Delgado, and Benjamin Sargent. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.